to the Movie Planet's bonus show. All of the bloopers, outtakes, and discussions that have nothing to do with the movie of the week, well, we decided, let's make a show of that too. Enjoy. Better movie composer.
Yes.
Alan Silvestri or Danny Elfman?
My quick and fast answer is Silvestri.
Okay. You're quick and fast. But the reason why I chose, because I was like, Alan Silvestri and who?
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? What about Danny? Because I look at Danny's songs and I hear them more in my head.
Okay. Well,
I can identify a Danny Elfman song within like four measures.
Yes.
Silvestri, I can't always do that.
The problem is I don't know that I want the Danny Elfman song to be there.
Oh, holy shit. Flag on the play. That was great.
The circus run amok.
Right. Like his first big one is really Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
And I associate it with that. And then I look and he does Back to School. You know, okay. another
yeah,
fun jaunt. But there's, you know, Beetlejuice. I love the soundtrack to Beetlejuice.
Okay. See, and yourself, they've both done Marvel movies as well.
Oh, that's right. He did Spider-Man
and he's credited with some for Age of Ultron as well.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So,
Wait, Danny's also done Batman.
See, that's
the Batman theme is iconic also.
Yeah. The Spider-Man work and Batman work is not in that same vein. It's going a little wider than the Pee Wee's Big Adventure and Burton-y things that he does.
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible is friggin' iconic.
I mean,
so good.
I mean, yeah, but that's the least Danny Elfman he ever is, because he's basically he's adapting a previously known property, Michael Giacchino style.
Yes, he's taking Lalo Schifrin's original theme and expanding on it.
Men in Black.
See, Men in Black, when I remember distinctly when I first watched it, I didn't know who directed it.
Okay.
But I heard the score and I was like, oh, is this a Tim Burton movie?
Yes. Yeah, because that's his boy.
Yep.
But he did Good Will Hunting. Another one that's not a fun jaunt. It's
right.
Much more subtle. So it's like the older he gets, the further he gets away from that. And when it's called upon, he can always get it back.
Yes.
You know, because he does Good Will Hunting. He does A Simple Plan. He does A Civil Action. Instinct, Anywhere But Here, Sleepy Hollow, Proof of Life, Family Man. And then, okay, let's get back to fun again. Here's Spider-Man.
But Spider-Man still isn't, except for, I believe there's one sequence, at least in Spider-Man 2, that has some of those like circusy elements.
Yeah.
But for the most part, but also he did Milk right around that same time.
Let's see. Milk was
08.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So Milk's right there. Previous to that, he does Hellboy too.
Yeah.
He does Wanted, another great one. That would be so underrated. But I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, beyond that, I don't really like the movies he's done.
I love The Frighteners. I love Dick Tracy.
Oh, yeah. That was before that, though.
Oh, yeah.
But like for me, the first time I really recognized Danny Elfman was when we were doing the Marvel list, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we had mentioned Spider-Man. I go, you know, this is a great soundtrack. And I think it was Giacchino. Giacchino took a lot of things from Danny Elfman. And I played it on there. And I realized what I like so much about Danny Elfman. It's he just plays so hard with a staccato with strings.
Yeah.
And he understands if it's a spider, it's got to sound like a spider walking around. And I want that in the music.
Right.
If it's Big Top Pee Wee, I want. If it's Beetlejuice, I love the la, 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 la. I love that shit.
Yeah.
It's spooky and it's unique because he's the only one doing that.
Yes.
And if you need that, you know who to go to.
Okay. Also, another point in his category is his extracurricular work from movies.
Okay.
Have you seen any footage from his live shows recently?
I have not.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, is he touring with Oingo Boingo?
I think he's doing a mashup of all like stuff from different eras of his career.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I think there is Oingo Boingo in there. I think there's some of the different themes and things that he's doing.
Yeah.
Maybe John Carpenter style, where he tours around with a band and does stuff. But Danny Elfman is a madman. He is ripped.
Really?
He is tattooed all over.
I see him as the skinny redhead guy with the glasses. Yeah. I don't know he was ripped.
Yeah. It is interesting.
I remember when I first saw him, I was like, wait, that's Danny Elfman?
Yeah.
That is not what I pictured. I pictured a guy that looks like Grandma's Boy. The guy who's making the video game. Black.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's my picture of Danny Elfman. Yeah. And then when I saw him, I was like, nope, not what I expect.
Here, real quick.
Holy shit!
That's a live reaction, folks.
He carrot topped.
Yes.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, he's been through a change.
Yes.
Holy cow!
So, dude, like, takes care of himself. And possibly injects HGH.
There might be a little, might be some horse tranquilizers in there. Yeah.
But I think it is fascinating and very interesting to, those are very, that's the same thing I said. But
I'm not judging.
Okay. Thank you. It's a period piece.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horn.
But I love that how multifaceted.
Yeah.
He clearly is.
And then there's Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I fell in love with Alan. I didn't know he had done these movies,
mm-hmm.
but when I first recognized Alan Silvestri for the greatness that he was, it was from one track on one movie. And from there I expanded and I was like, oh my gosh, he did this. He did this. He did this. He did this. Holy shit. I love this guy.
Uh-huh.
The one track was Portals in Endgame.
Okay.
Which to this day gives me goosebumps and I well up because of what that meant in the entire yes. thing. And from there I was like, okay, what else has he done? I was like, oh my God, he did Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love Back to the Future. Then I went back. He did The Abyss.
Yep.
He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, these are all like my childhood. Flight of the Navigator,
Predator.
I can't let me say this. Cat's Eye.
Yes.
Like, I love Cat's Eye, and I don't feel like anybody else knows what it is.
Oh, I love that movie.
I appreciate you, man. Yeah.
But of course I would.
Well, then yeah. Death Becomes Her.
Well, and he's Zemeckis' boy.
Yes.
He's very much...
That's his Tim Burton.
Yes. Although, both guys have worked with Sam Raimi.
What did he do with Sam Raimi?
The Quick and the Dead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a much longer list because he started back in 1972 was his first job, Silvestri.
Seriously?
Yeah. The Doberman Gang.
Oh, okay.
Familiar. Okay, good.
Where they teach dogs to rob banks.
Okay, so does that mean that The Amazing Dobermans was a sequel?
I'm not familiar with the
Because he composed Dobermans. That also four okay. years later.
All right.
But he did TV also. He did Starsky and Hutch. He did Chips.
Oh.
TJ Hooker. Manimal.
He did Romancing the Stone.
I love Romancing the Stone.
Yeah. And Summer Rental. Ooh, that's another 80s classic right there.
Yeah. I mean, there. Well, then there's Mac and Me.
Yeah, there's Mac and Me.
Look, they can't all be hits.
No.
But when you look at these two, that's why I chose them both, because they both have their own signature style.
Okay. So if we were talking about Silvestri in a classic Hollywood sense, right?
Yeah.
But Danny Elfman is now what has become classic.
Exactly.
Right? Like
Motley Crue is now classic rock.
Yes.
Elfman's career started in 1980.
Okay.
He did Forbidden Zone, and then 85 was Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Man, that's coming out of the gate strong, which I realize he had Oingo Boingo before that and around that same
time. By the way, he was uncredited on Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Seriously?
It says composer, theme music, uncredited.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. And then after, so he did Forbidden Zone in 1980, 5 years later did Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and then did the Fast Times TV show.
Okay.
Sledgehammer, the TV show. Uh-huh. The Simpsons, the video game, Simpsons Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Uh-huh.
He did the original Flash TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And then his first movie looks like is Pure Luck, Beyond Big Adventure. Pure Luck was that Martin Short? Martin Short and Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also worked on Amazing Stories, apparently.
Yes.
In 86, which, you got Spielberg, you got Zemeckis in there.
You know what? I think you're going to have to give Danny Elfman the nod on this one. He did Army of Darkness, March of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
Didn't see that one coming.
Okay. Also, for a very formative time in my life, being 13 and 14, being in a Midwestern wannabe kind of dark and brooding guy, but still having a very sensitive soul, Nightmare Before Christmas hit that pocket, and he's a big part of that. He's a bigger part, arguably, than Tim Burton.
Now, again, we're not saying that either of these guys are bad.
No.
They're both amazing.
Yes.
My heart says go with Silvestri, but my brain says it's Elfman.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I first looked at it, all I had to see was the Back to the Future scores.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's Silvestri.
Yeah.
Like, I know the stuff that Elfman has done, but the back like that, I went
and just saw, the chimes gives you goosebumps.
Elizabeth took me to go see When the Symphony.
That's right.
Did that last year or the year before. It was a great evening.
Yeah.
Also, if you ever get the chance to do that, that's fun. I've done it twice now.
Really?
The other one was La La Land.
I hate that movie so much. I know you do. Much.
I know.
Oh my God. I think I got a term.
It's what we call a global killer. The end of mankind. Doesn't matter where it hits. Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
Exactly.
I did want to bring up with the Nolan, the Nolan Holen.
Oh, the hole of Nolan. Here yes. We go.
Have you seen the recent quote? I posted it attributed to Nolan.
Which one? I've seen a lot lately.
Talking about Tenet, about...
Oh, yes.
About, hey, you don't need to understand everything in the movie if it's connecting with you in any way, shape, or form, basically. You're getting the movie.
That's not getting the movie, though. If you don't understand it, that's not getting it.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, I'm with Chris on this
one. I'm going semantic on this one.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I thought Tenet was a cool-looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what they did practically in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know what the fuck I watched. And because of that, having spent the time in the theater and being as confused as I was, yet at the same time being like, I can't leave because it looks cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no desire to see this movie again because I feel like I wasted my time the first time. So therefore, I will never get the movie. And I'm a simple human being. If you want to revisit something several times, you got to really love it.
So.
Yes, Josh.
So my next question was to ask what you were doing the last week of this month if you wanted to go see Tenet in 70 millimeter.
Can we see La La Land? How long is Tenet?
Oh, it is freaking long.
Is it
248?
I don't know. I, oh man. on the one hand, I want to, but on the other hand, I already know I'm not going to get it.
It's 2:30.
So I'd be going mainly to hang out with you, which we could do that at a restaurant.
This is true. Dune release is 2:48.
Well, so, yeah. Well, we'll see Dune.
Yeah. They're re-releasing Dune 2019.
Yeah.
They're doing Tenet as a lead in to Dune 2.
Jesus.
They're doing exclusive footage from Dune 2 in IMAX for the Tenet re-release.
But you're going to see the movie afterwards.
Yeah.
So you're seeing exclusive footage of a movie you're about to see.
Of a movie you're going to see the next week. Tenet comes out the week before Dune 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to see it next week.
Yeah.
I need to see the exclusive footage. At this point, I don't want to see anything more about Dune.
I'm figuring out how to get all three of these movies in and a work trip and going to see another Francis Ford Coppola movie in 4K at the Belcourt. I got a lot of shit to do. Plus, I've got an improv show. I've got way too much going on.
You got a full plate, man. Yes. I'm lucky we got this show in. Okay. Best directors of the 90s.
Okay.
According to Ranker, this is where everybody can rank shit.
Got it.
Now, I chose the 90s because we had a discussion about this, actually, a few weeks ago. We were talking about Scorsese. We were talking about Tarantino. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me see where these guys were. And I was like, okay, is there a place where we can rank all the directors? And I found it very interesting the order they had these in. So the number one director was Scorsese of the 90s.
Okay. So on the Ranker site,
yes,
it has their works that correspond to that period.
Right.
Yes.
And what I find interesting about this is because there is a cutoff point sometimes where they had like three or four movies in the 90s, but then they hit their stride in the 2000s, or they had a great run in the 80s and they're just ending their run in the 90s.
Yes.
And so they fall short.
Got it.
But Scorsese's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Tarantino is number two.
Okay.
And Spielberg is number three. Now, I look at Spielberg's list there. Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List, Jurassic Park, Hook. I know you don't like Hook. Mm-hmm. Amistad. Those are his big ones in the 90s.
Right.
Are those a better catalog than what Scorsese did? Because he did Goodfellas, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Fear, solid remake.
Uh-huh.
Age of Innocence, Casino, Kundun, and Bringing Out the Dead.
I have not seen Kundun.
I haven't seen that either.
I only know it from Sopranos when Christopher sees Scorsese outside of a club and goes, Marty, Kundun, I liked it.
Well, that tells you right there it's probably not a good movie. That probably tells you right there.
Put it in Christopher Montesante's mouth. And,
yeah. Bringing Out the Dead, I didn't see that. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay, what was that all about?
It is another Paul Schrader script, so he's reteaming with his taxi driver buddy.
Okay.
And it is about Nick Cage as an ambulance driver who is dealing with problems of his own and trying to save people and taking on a lot of what you would call now emotional labor.
Okay, all right.
From the people around him, and it's kind of like a lot of Schrader stuff, got a Jesus redemption element to it.
All right.
As well. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But bringing up Spielberg here is kind of why something that I mentioned to you a long time ago was that there is this cutoff line in Spielberg's oeuvre.
Right. Right.
And I feel like when I looked at this Ranker list, I was like, maybe the 90s, the general, was the line of demarcation, you know, where you have his stuff from this era back and then stuff from this era forward. Because back from here, it's hard to argue Steven Spielberg being number three.
Yeah. Interesting. Let me pull up another little thing here.
Joel and Ethan Coen is number four.
And that's not a picture of a Coen brother.
I don't know who the hell that is. By the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to do an image search to try to figure him out.
Yeah, I almost feel like they were like, you need to submit a photo? Here, take this one.
Right.
It's our father. That's Martin Coen. Your boy, James Cameron, comes in at number five.
And who's down from there?
And to be fair, I think he's at number five because he only put out three movies that year. But he puts out a movie every 3 or 4 or 5 years at that point anyway.
Right.
Terminator 2, True Lies, and Titanic. Largely hits.
Yes.
And he didn't miss.
No. His slugging percentage is very high.
Which is why I'm like, why is he five?
Yeah. Little lower, though, you look at Clint Eastwood. That's also a really solid run. And he has...
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is.
8 movies in the 90s.
He did that.
I mean, nothing is...
He was in his prime then, though.
Yeah. Nothing is what I would say world-shaking, but they're all really solid movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Tim Burton's in there. Tim Burton owned the 90s, too.
Yeah.
Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns, Ed Wood, Mars Attacks. Nobody saw Sleepy Hollow.
Excuse me?
Nobody saw Sleepy Hollow. How packed was that theater, Josh?
Oh, no.
Okay. Nobody saw Sleepy
Hollow. It was me. It was me and my mom.
There was an echo against the walls.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott's on the list at 11.
But that is discounting. And, you're delving into, once again, what is personal versus global impact and significance.
And it's also specifically the 90s.
Yes.
Like Thelma Louise, fantastic. 1492. Uh-oh. White Squall.
Okay.
G.I. Jane.
Another three filmography from the 90s that does not miss is Michael Mann.
Okay, what were his?
Last of the Mohicans.
Fantastic.
Heat. And The Insider.
Russell Crowe, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All three. Russell Crowe with Pacino.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I take your Michael Mann.
Uh-huh.
And I raise you Spike Lee. Jesus Christ. Mo Better Blues.
Uh-huh.
Jungle Fever. Malcolm X. Crooklyn, Clockers, He Got Game, Summer of Sam. He put out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 movies in the 90s.
He did not.
What? He did.
Oh, my gosh.
The guy was moving with a camera.
That is... God, how long did he do a movie a year?
He did Clockers and Lumiere and Company the same year.
Uh-huh.
He did Get on the Bus and Girl 6 the same year. He did He Got Game and Freak the same year. This guy never stopped working.
No.
He took no breaks. And he was going to every Knicks game.
Yeah. And, I mean, starting off with Mo Better Blues and ending with Summer of Sam, there's versatility.
Yes.
He is all over the field. He can play every position.
That's the thing. I appreciate Spike Lee. I may not always agree with his politics, but I appreciate the guy's range. And I feel like the black baldness that he has gotten has really deprived us of his range with more mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think it's in him, but no one will give him a chance. He keeps getting indie work. And I know he'll probably say, well, that's where I live and breathe, but it's not.
Right.
You can do other things.
Well, but I mean, looking at even the last few years, he's still done so much. Does stand-up stuff. Like, he directed the David Burns Broadway show, American Utopia.
He did?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, this guy.
Yeah. As well as The Five Bloods. Which is a good war movie.
It is.
Yeah.
That surprised me. That came out during the pandemic, I think, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And have you heard the news of him and Denzel?
Yes, that they're going to reconnect for High and Low.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited.
I am too. I'll watch anything Denzel does, and I got a place in my heart for Spike Lee at this point.
Yeah.
Gus Van Sant. Okay, here's what I love. They have got my own private Idaho.
Okay.
They got To Die For, which I think is underrated. Good Will Hunting, great. And then it ends with Psycho. And you're like, ooh.
Once again, I went to the, they just shut the theater down in Elkhart that I saw Psycho at. I saw people, there's a Facebook page. I grew up in Elkhart, Indiana is what it's called.
Yeah.
And people, it's just people posting shit that has been shut down and saying, remember what cool things used to be here.
Could you imagine getting in line for a Psycho double feature?
Oh,
and wow. Then when you sit through the second one, you go, I just saw this.
Right. I just saw this, but better?
Tony? Okay, now I'm going to make a proclamation right now, and that is, these are all great directors we've talked about.
Yes.
They are director royalty by modern standards. And if royalty had a court jester that owned the 90s, okay, it was Kevin Smith. Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, and Dogma.
Okay.
The court jester of directors. And those are all cult hits.
Yes. Dogma,
Dogma is the most mainstream of everything.
Yes.
Chasing Amy, we thought was. And then he said, no, hold my beer. Here's Dogma.
Right.
And, I mean, Dogma is just a punch in the face constantly to religion.
Yes.
But also celebrates it.
I mean, as with so many creative types, he's got a very complex relationship, I feel like, personal relationship with religion as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look who it is. It's Steve. Where's my little thing here? Let's get his ass on the phone. You there?
Hello.
You there, buddy?
I'm here.
Hey,
I'm
here. Josh and I are recording right now. How you doing, pal?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm doing swell. I'm actually about to head out the door, but how's it going, Josh?
I'm doing well. You're live on the air.
I'm live.
Yeah.
I'm always live. What are we talking about? What do you mean?
We were just discussing Kevin Smith in the 90s.
I have not seen a whole lot of Kevin Smith. Okay. The last one that I like really honestly remember seeing is, and this might be my first, like out of all the Kevin Smith movies I saw, was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I have never seen Clerks. I have never seen Mallrats. I have never seen any of that. And you know what? My wife is giving me the same exact look that I can hear over there.
Well, the other thing, and I know that this is straight to your heart, Steve, we had a discussion about Alan Silvestri versus Danny Elfman.
Yes.
Who is the better composer for you?
Alan Silvestri.
That was my initial response.
Without a hesitation.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, even though Danny Elfman has given you the Batman theme.
I understand that.
Even though he gave you Pee-wee.
Yes, he, okay.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. That is a great, you know, an amazing score. But let's be honest. Has anything ever moved me like Portals? Has anything ever moved me like the Avengers theme song? I mean, we're talking about a 30-something-year-old. Well, I'm 40 now. Also, I'm just going to say a 40-year-old man cry and be full of emotion and goosebumps. Sorry, Danny Elfman, the same guy who voiced Jack Skellington. No.
So even that he did that one also. Edward Scissorhands. So you're still Alan Silvestri all the way.
All day, every day.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
There's an argument to be made that, I mean, in my heart, he's number one over the John Williams.
Ooh,
whoa!
Oh my!
And didn't I see that John Williams finally won something for Indiana Jones?
What did he win?
I don't know. I saw John Williams.
Was it for Dial of Destiny? Was it for that piece of shit? Because that's a shame.
Well, it's going to piss you off.
Well, I have a question for you, Steve, because, you know, we did our bonus show with our homework assignments.
Yes.
We did Pop Star. I know you're familiar.
Yes.
In the mockumentary, I gave it an A.
Yes.
What would you give it?
I would give it an A minus.
Now, can you give us a little reason why? Because I don't want to tell you Josh's grade yet.
I mean, it follows the Spinal Tap mentality, which is what I really like. And I can't remember what I gave Spinal Tap, but it is giving me, I think I remember giving it an A. But as much as I really love to consider this conversation, I am now getting in the car with my family. So
okay, we'll get back to you at another point. We'll get back to you another point.
Right, I'm sorry, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There's Steve.
Amazing. Amazing.
I just wanted to see what he was going to do. And I was like, oh, come on, let's raise the pop star grade now.
Yeah, you want to phone another friend and try to get that happening?
Oh, my God. I'm going to get Elizabeth on the phone, see what she thinks.
She would raise the grade, yeah.
I'm looking here. There's other people listed here in the ranker list, but they didn't have any movies that came out in the 90s, so I don't know why they're there. Like George Lucas, for instance.
Oh, wild.
He's at 18, but... You didn't have anything come out in the 90s.
But
M. Night Shyamalan is in there.
M. Night don't miss.
They have The Sixth Sense in 99. But before that.
Oh, he did have. He had Praying with Anger.
Praying with Anger and.
Is there a movie with Rosie O'Donnell?
Wide Awake.
Wide Awake.
Yes. But let's be honest, we didn't know him until Sixth Sense.
Yeah, okay. That much like my best friend's birthday, those first couple don't count. Not really.
That other Quentin Tarantino movie. Yes. Are there any other directors you want to leap down on this one? Tim Robbins is on this list.
That's weird.
He did Dead Man Walking.
Okay, but what else? Like
Cradle Will Rock.
Not a great movie.
Bob Roberts.
I do enjoy Bob Roberts.
There you go. Sam Mendes is on the list. American Beauty, Cabaret, Company.
Yeah, that's fine. I would be more excited about Kenneth Branagh.
I just saw his name.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his list, but right below it is what I was looking at. Mike Nichols.
Not only is it a good list, in Jackie Brown, they walk out of a theater, and I'm pretty sure there's a poster for Wolf on the wall when Max Cherry walks out of the theater, which would make it a period piece.
That sets it in a time.
Yeah.
Takes place in the 90s. Well, of course, Jackie Brown was made in 97, so it makes sense. Yeah. The Wolf came out in 94. So Jackie Brown takes place in 1994.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wild. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's that poster right there. Yep, the Wolf one sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah, and beyond that, it's that there's really nothing else there on the list. But certainly interesting when you look at the 90s, these top-tier directors, what they pumped out. Tarantino. Reservoir, Pulp Fiction, Four Rooms, Jackie Brown.
Yeah. That's hard to beat.
I really appreciate the directors that didn't have a miss in there.
Yes.
Because, you know, and when I say a miss, I know the work that they put into these movies. It just wasn't connecting with the audience.
I mean.
A miss for me is it didn't connect with the audience.
Oh, shit. Paul Thomas Anderson.
PTA's in there? Where? I didn't see him.
He's not on the list. I'm looking at a. You've got me going now.
Yeah.
He's on a Reddit list, but Hard Eight, Boogie Nights, and Magnolia.
That was the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was Hard Eight his first movie?
Yep.
Okay.
Also known as, was it Seymour, I believe?
Yeah. Speaking of Seymour, did you see the stills from the Little Shop of Horrors movie?
No.
They're remaking Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, fine.
The Audrey 2 looks awful.
Oh, no.
I think they're trying to mimic the stage play.
Okay. So wait, at this point, it's a movie that got turned into a stage musical that got turned into a movie that revived the stage musical that they're now turning into a movie?
You're on pace.
Okay.